in a complete dependence upon the Lord, who needed help, I would draw your attention to the book of Psalms, Psalm 62 and verse 8. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 62 verse 8. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Dear David knew what it was to be brought to that place where he needed to trust. And I believe his people down through the ages, including us here, are brought to those places where we need that trust. And as David pens here for the public singing, at all times, friend, we get like this where we can only trust in the Lord and what he said and done for us at certain times. But David here describes it at all times. Why all times? Because he was in those great straits, as we read in our lesson concerning the trials prior to him ascending the throne. What a preparation. The people spake of stoning him. We read this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Think of those inhabitants of Keilah, so ungrateful. Mind you, Saul was there, a rightful king. What a difficult situation. David delivered them, yet they are bound to King Saul. What a difficulty. Do you have those difficulties? Neither know we what to do. Our eyes are upon thee. David inquires of the Lord. And concerning Ziklag, as we read, he encouraged him. What have you got to encourage himself in? Soul. What have you got to encourage yourself in? Now be careful here. You can't rely on past experience, but you can draw from it. You can draw from what the Lord's done. What have you got to rely on? What the Lord has done for your soul. The glory of Christ. Think, dear friend, of what he's done for you. How has he led you? What has he spoken? Now, the point with David is, it was an anointing. He was anointed king. And he wasn't yet king. And he will be king, despite his friends turning on him because of their bitterness. Their bitterness was David's bitterness. But they were turning on David. The Lord, in a sense, was correcting David for not being straight with Achish. He didn't quite completely tell the truth. So let us consider this word then before us in its three parts. Trust in him at all times. Who? Who? Who will you trust in? Friend, you can't trust in an unknown God, can we? Can we trust in generalities? On some idea of what we've been brought up to believe? You know, experience is given to us to show forth the glory of God. It's not a means just to an end. It brings forth Christ. The way you've been led is a preparation for heaven, for glory, to be with Christ and to know his work in the soul, his sanctifying influence, preparing for heaven to make us holy. His blessed redemption, that precious and atoning blood, the work of the Holy Ghost in our hearts for faith, to trust in him, what he's done for us at Calvary, to redeem us from death, and gone to prepare a place. But what has he done for our soul personally in making himself known? The pathway you're in is the path appointed to heaven if you're his. Now, David breathes forth this prayer, this instruction. What a blessed exhortation for us. Trust in him at all times. Him, God manifest in flesh. He that bore his people's curse. Is your soul exercised to know more of all your sins, to be borne by him? It's a solemn thought. Friends, it's a humbling thought. Hush, my soul. Christ bore my iniquities. Think of the awfulness of our thoughts, our sins, our deeds, our anger, our hate, our pride. They're punishable by death. The dear Redeemer bore the shame. Remember, what he bore was alien to him. The Holy One. Christ the Holy One. But think of that love. Think of that love that caused him to submit to that suffering and to bear our curse. Him, God, manifest in flesh. He who has appeared to your soul. Are there seekers here who can't be sure whether they're the Lord's or not? What have you got to trust in? What have you got to plead? Because trusting isn't just holding fast only. There's a pleading exercise. When you carry something over your shoulder that's heavy, a girder, an iron girder, there's effort, there's exercise, there's panting, and so forth. So it is with the word of the Lord. The burden of your soul is an exercise. When you own something, property, or you're in a business, you've got the responsibility. You can trust that with that girder you're carrying, you're strong enough to take it where you want. But it's still an exercise. When you're in your business, in your responsibility, you trust you're being successful and doing the right thing, but it's still an exercise. This trust is an exercise of soul. What has he said, friend? Is God true? Is there reality? As you go on the journey, you know, we prove he is faithful. You prove he's spoken. But think of the trials you've had. The word of the Lord is tried, as silver is tried, in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. It is tried, but we prove him true. Think of what you're passing through, the complications, the difficulties, and where your soul stands in it. The pathway appointed to glory, and how your soul is in exercise and relationship with his only begotten Son as your head, your captain, your redeemer, gone before. Sometimes he hides his face. Can you trust him in there? Look at David. Can you trust him? Why those trials? I mentioned last night concerning Rebecca going to inquire of the Lord, because there were the two children in her womb were wrestling, and the Lord explained 2 nations in her womb, 2 sorts of people. Dear friend, in your soul, there are 2 principles if you're a child of God. There's an old man of sin and a new man of grace. And do you know the travail? And when one begins to... Now you think of Joshua up on the... Moses, I should say, up on the mount. When Amalek came behind Israel, as his hands were lifted up, so Israel prevailed. As they were let down through weariness, or began to falter, so Amalek begins to prevail. These things are very serious, you know. Mr. Frank Gosden used to say, we have to come to points, meaning, of course, principles. What the Lord's done for your soul. Friend, what are you passing through? Has he still got that same love as when he called you? Does he change? Has he once shone upon you? Has he taken you in? Can the Lord forsake the work of his hands? God could not be real if it was so. He cannot forsake the work of his hands. The word he has spoken shall surely prevail. Thou shalt see my glory soon. When the work of grace is done, part of my throne shall be. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? When he revealed his love, as we've been singing in that middle hymn, and also that opening hymn, the immutability of his love to his people, once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. But look at your pathway. Look at your difficulties. Trust in him at all times. Think of temptation. Think of failure. Think of the enemy and all his wicked thoughts he puts into your soul. Precious in atoning blood. Now you can't take it for granted, can you? Just like that. It needs living faith. It needs the Holy Ghost, friend. Faith is the gift of God. But the Lord cannot forsake the work of his hands. All times. All times. Your down time. Your sad time. The time of opposition. And when the Lord's chastening hand seems to be upon you for a little season, can you trust it's done in love? Real love. Eternal love. And I mean love. Love to your soul. You know, it's the same love in chastening as it is in the kisses of his mouth. It's the same love. The same love. Well, where are we, friend, in the journey? All times. David prayed in Psalm 31, did he not? My times are in thy hand. Remember that. Thy hand. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still. Their strength is to sit still. Friend, that's not inactivity. I know when you're sitting still, you're not working and you're not moving and you're not walking, but your soul is active. Your soul is not sitting still. In exercise, it's up to the Lord, but you dare not move forward. You're waiting on Him. My soul, it says in this psalm, I think, yes, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. All times, David knew the trials. David knew the joys. David knew the prospects. Very, very sacredly, in that anointing as king, I believe he was taught concerning the glory of that seed through Judah. Very tremendous. In your trials, in this your spiritual anointing, I know there's no outward anointing like David had. He had two anointings, his spiritual and outward. And of course he was anointed, literally king, I think three times altogether. Samuel, and then at Hebron, and then later, if I've got that right. No, we're talking of spiritual anointing. What for? Oneness with Christ, the seed of glory. A joint heir with Christ. Poor sinner, look at your state. Look what you're in. Oh, you're afar off from that, aren't you? You can't comprehend it. How can these things be? How can they be? By grace, by sovereign love, by visit to the soul, by the sure foundation laid in Zion. The glorious, full work of the Son of God made known unto your heart. That has an influence, has an heavenly influence. Well, I must move on in the text. All times, trust in Him. Affliction, pain, difficulty, sorrow, trial. There's a prospect to be with Christ, which is far better. That's why you've been called. Called with an everlasting salvation. But David goes on. Your people, he says, pour out your heart before Him. Well, if you're a living soul, that's what you're going to be doing. I know we get in some pretty sad places and we make no excuses whatsoever. God does not accept excuses, but He does accept a confessing soul, a repenting soul that pleads His name. But what I was going to say was a living soul will constantly be pouring out their heart. What are you going to pour out? Well, as we come to this thought, where do you pour it out? What you pour out and where you pour it out. Some people keep diaries in the world and they talk to the diary and tell the diary all their thoughts and fears. I've actually witnessed one and know of another in the world. I'm not talking about God's people's diaries. I'm talking about the world. They talk to the diary. Strange, isn't it? Who do you talk to? A living God at the throne of grace. Pour out. No, pouring out means an emptying. We are limited vessels. We can only pour out so much that we know and are experiencing. But it's an emptying out. whereto the Lord pour out your heart before him. Now, confession, friend, keep confessing. You know, ask the Lord to show you where you're often wrong. Lord, put me right. Make me clean, make me holy. Think of the thoughts we have. Friend, we need cleansing. Pour out your soul. Tell him that you don't deserve his mercy if you feel you don't. Tell him exactly how you feel. Lord, I feel barren and I'm ashamed after so much mercy. Lord, I've been wandering around, forgive me. These are confessions. What else are you going to pour out? Your desires. Your desires after him. Dear Lord, I long for the visit of thy face, thy precious love. Friend, if you've had some gracious experience, wasn't it sweet? You're wanted again. You're wanted again. Oh, that you might be brought by grace to his dear feet. Friend, in his holy presence. His holy presence, sanctified by him, by his love. Made meet to be at his feet. Made meet. Tell him what you need. Lord, I long to be in thy presence. Long to live at thy feet. Prepare me for thy will. Give me strength. Give me contentment. Give me peace. Give me joy. Pour out your heart before him. What else? That I might grow in grace, the knowledge of thee, the knowledge of the dear Redeemer, by my experience below, what he's done for my soul, what he did at Calvary, his entering into glory, the glorious doctrines of the gospel concerning Christ. Pour out your heart before him. Ask that, you know, I said this last night, you know, we got full of unbelief, we only half believe, you know, some of the times. The Lord has clearly said, ask and it shall be given thee. Ask and it shall be given thee. That's not just an opinion. That's not some vague prospect. The Lord of life and glory has declared it. Seek and ye shall find. Find him. Find him at last. Knock and it shall be opened. The door of mercy. The door of the deliverance. The mighty help of Jacob. Pour out your heart before him. Tell him how you feel, what you fear, what you need, what you long for, and ask for gracious submission to fall into his hands and to know him first above all things, and all these things shall be added. Ah, but prepare me, Lord. Oh, make me meek. We want the influences of the Spirit. Friend, we want, you know, some people are religious, but they don't, I'm not being critical, of course, but I can only speak these things aright. We want the influence of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ upon us. The Spirit of Christ is what we want, friend. If we're his, pour out your heart. You know, in that blessed chapter we have in Hebrews, we've not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows how you feel. The dear Redeemer's been through all his people's experiences on earth in the flesh. What a mercy we've got one who is touched the feeling of our infirmities and was tempted in all points like we as well, yet without sin. Well, that's our mercy. Let us therefore come boldly, pour out boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friend, what a blessing is the throne of grace. You know, the throne of grace is erected in the heart. When you're driving, when you're digging, when you're shopping. In the night season, during the day, it's in the heart. Set there. What do I mean by that? The soul is looking to heaven, where Jesus sits upon the throne. The throne of grace is in heaven, but, dear friend, it's dropped down into the heart. The grace is, the prayer is, the feet of Christ are. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. And David says, God is a refuge for us. It's very wonderful, you know, that God can actually be a refuge for us. How can these things be? That God that cursed the ground, that God that drove out Adam, that God that punished sin, that God that condemned Adam, how can he be a refuge? Adam fled from his presence, naked, fled from his presence. God provided, that's the point, provided skins rather than leaves. Wonderful thing, friend, that God who hates sin and will punish sin, the Son of God, the Redeemer, the Saviour, is the one that will send forth the sentence to perdition or drawn to glory. The Father, in his determinate counsel, who is the one that condemns the wickedness, is the one who provided the refuge. Abraham said it, didn't he, on the way to Moriah, when Isaac queried him. Rightly so, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? My son, God shall provide himself a lamb, a refuge. What's that refuge? What has God provided? You know, it's a solemn thing. May all of us, and I think of my family, I think of many things, many friends. Friends, may we not be strangers to the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich the provision of his Son. May we not be a stranger, or to go through a life of religion without the sweet knowledge, the refuge open for you in the wounded side of the Lord Jesus Christ, a refuge. I don't know how you find it, friend, but it's a daily battle, you know, that fight of faith against sin, against unbelief, against fidelity. Friend, and you know, it's a serious thing when we turn our back on the Lord and his will. When we'd rather read something else than the word. When our thoughts are not heavenward but all over the place. We're slighting the Lord, you know. You think of what he's done for your soul. His eye always upon you. His eye always upon you. I know my sheep. He loves his sheep. But think of the love, and this is no excuse. But this is because we're, all of us are guilty. It's not one of us in this chapel is better than another in this thing. We're all guilty. But love that took us in. Friend, what a refuge is that atonement for sin. His precious sin atoning blood. A sure mark of grace is you'll be often turning to that blood. Often turning to it. Friend, why? Well, partly because it's needed. But not only that, you know. It's preciousness. It's efficacy. It's virtue. It's life. That's why you'll be turning to it. Oh, you'll often be turning there, pleading that precious synatonic. What a refuge. Was in Egypt, wasn't it? Friend, and it will be to you now. Think of that scarlet thread that was put in across Rahab's window, the one she let them down out of Jericho. A token. She was safe within it. What a glorious type. Dear friend, can you trace Jesus? I speak carefully here. His precious blood. Just a scarlet thread. Here and there. Through your life. Through your journey. As made known. Friend, these things we want made known to us. If you're a living soul, you want reality. There is a right, of course, a right general believing. The Puritans used to speak of common grace, meaning God's common grace to this earth. But his dear people are under special grace. Blessed grace. Personal grace. Personal grace in the soul. And it brings personal love. The love of Christ, which is the love of the Father, to their soul. God is a refuge for us. Well, I must wind down. You know, his word is a refuge, isn't it? Why? Because it's sent by the Holy Ghost to your soul. And Christ is the glory of that word. His promise is a refuge for you in times of trouble. And his love made known. You know, we've had some good hymns. That opening hymn, you know, the immutability, the unchanging nature of Christ and his love. Tremendous. That's why you're helped along in the pilgrimage, you know. Could you continue? Friend, how could you continue if God changed? Unchangeable love. Unchangeable, imperishable grace. We continue to this time. And will continue to the end because of his everlasting, eternal love, as made known. God is a refuge for us. I leave the word, the time has run. Trust in him at all times. All times. May we be given the grace to do it, dear friend, and I believe you will if you're his. You'll be like David. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. Pour it out. Heart says, sue it out, spurning doubt, the Holy Ghost thy witness. God is a refuge for us.